Welcome into the In the Money Podcast from KeenelandSelect.com for Sunday, October 19th. Tom Leach along with Jim Goodman, Keeneland's Director of Wagering Development. Late Pick 4 is where we're headed, and it starts in Race 6 and includes the Grade 3 Rudin Riddle Dowager going long on the turf. But the first leg is a second-level allowance. Fillies and Mayors 3 and up there on the turf, but at 5.5 furlongs. Jim, where did you go to start out the Late Pick 4?
Big Trouble was my initial pick in here, but then I looked at this horse's ability to finish second. She's had 5 seconds out of 14 with 2 wins. Ran well at Churchill off the turf last time out, and they put her back on the turf. That's the only time she'd been taken off the turf. It scratched in the 6 horses. She won by 4 3/4. So she's 1 for 1 on fast dirt tracks. But they bring her back on the turf, which is her normal. But she seems to be stuck in the 79 to 80 range. So I think she's maybe an overbet favorite here. So I went with Brad Cox's filly off a layoff. Don't say it with Florent Giroux. This horse has a license to move forward, but hasn't been out since February. Shows a good series of works. Was really good in the spring at Fairgrounds. Has never raced at Keeneland, but obviously Brad is so good with off the layoff. He's 31% off more than 6 months. So I'm going to take Don't Say It on top. Use Big Trouble for second here in my exacta. And I'm also going to use the outside horse, Nikki Nine Doors. I would like this filly a lot better if she wasn't in the 12 hole in a 5.5 furlong race and needing to come from off of it. She's not going to get to the lead. She's got good positional speed. If you go back in her past performances to October of 24, she had an 86 buyer in allowance race at Keeneland at 5.5. She's a 5.5 specialist. She's 2 for 8 at the distance, and Irad Ortiz takes them out. So Chris Davis is 2 for 6 at the meet. So a lot of things point to Nikki Nine Doors. I'd really like her if she was in a 5 or 6 hole. 12 hole, I'm going to use her. Irad's got to work out a really good trip from out there, though. So I'm going 3 deep in the pick 4.
I ended up taking Big Trouble on top. It's not a strong opinion. That's my problem is I didn't have any strong opinions in this late pick 4. Dallas, one that I like that you didn't mention. Again, just a wide-open race for me. But Dallas getting Sayas in the saddle, and that's a major upgrade. And this horse held her own with some of these. I would like Nikki Nine Doors like you a lot more with a better post position. Just her running style seems to be ideal for getting hung wide in this race. Don't Say It with Brad Cox has got to be considered. And Hideki and is one that's an interesting price play in here for me because and it's the stat that Jeremy Plonk always mentions in his analysis in these turf sprints when there's a full field. For whatever reason, posts 3, 4, and 5 seem to outrun their odds frequently. And in a wide open race, horse with a price there out of the 3 hole, I thought was worth considering. Moving on to race 7 on the Sunday card. And this is a third level allowance. It's at 1 1/8. It's on the main track. I took Energize on top in here. Ran her best race from a buyer standpoint off the break last month. And if he improves just a little, he's a strong contender here. Fountain Lake ran well here and then went on to win at Churchill back in the spring and has been consistent, but will need a little pace help. Only in America posted a big buyer figure in breaking his maiden last time out. Now has to face much tougher company, though. Racing Driver, the 7, makes the second start off a layoff. Last 2 have been pretty good. So those 4 are interesting to me. How about you?
The last one you mentioned is interesting to me simply because in this race that has qualifications of 3-year-olds and up, which have never run a race other than maiden claiming starter or which have never won 2 races, Racing Driver is the only horse in the race with 3 wins. And that is a huge advantage when you're looking at these other horses. All they have is maiden wins, so nobody even has 2. I can't believe Racing Driver will go off at 10-1 because I'm not going to be the only one who notices that. His last race at Churchill was good. He won an optional $50,000 claimer. Not moving way up in class here. Delgado's a good trainer. I like Racing Driver a lot at 10-1. And that 3 wins just jumps off the page at me. I can't tell you how much that means in the history of a horse to look at 3 wins versus 1 for all the other horses in the race. And a horse that you didn't use that I I'm surprised, is Excite for Will Mott coming out of the St. Louis Derby at Fairmount Park. And that's not great racing, but had an 89 buyer and was very competitive at Churchill last year. Broke his maiden at a mile and eighth this distance, came back at a mile and eighth, and ran well in an optional claimer. So I like Excite quite a bit. I'm only going to go two deep in here. Racing Driver, the long shot, and Excite, the favorite.
Interesting. All right. Let's go to the Grade 3 Rude and Riddle Dowager, race 8, third leg of the late pick 4. Mile and a half on the turf for fillies and mares, 3 and up. How'd you see it?
Boy, this one was tough. I couldn't really separate the top 3 or 4 horses, so I'm going to spread here after going narrow in the last race. I'm blessed my stars for Brendan Walsh is 8-1 on the outside, and I think fits this race very well. She's been off since January, coming out of a grade 2 where she didn't win, but she was competitive. She got beat 5 lengths by Be Your Best. Be Your Best beat her back in the Suwannee River at Gulfstream. The horse raced in South Africa, so you don't know how that form holds up, but, you know, she's got 5 wins lifetime, and Brendan Walsh is an outstanding trainer taking over from Todd Pletcher. So Bless My Stars is my long shot special on the outside. But the other 4 that I think are just normally going to be considered is Brendan Walsh's horse, Spanish Eyes, the 2 horse. Didn't run well at Kentucky Downs last out, but if you mark that one through, the Beverly D effort would put her right there. She ran in the grade 2 Beverly D, only got beat a length and a half, and then came back and tried the big money in a grade 3 at Kentucky Downs and flopped on that track. But I think I won't hold that against her. I think she fits here very well. Duvet Day for Michael McCarthy, who doesn't race a whole lot of horses here, but they're usually live. This horse ran okay in the same race at Kentucky Downs, and then her colonial form in the Beverly D was good as well. So if you like Spanish Eyes, you have to like Duvet Day. And Vive Vouve, I can never say that. Viva Vouve, I don't know what it is, but V-I-V-E-V-E-U-V-E for Joe Sharp. Kentucky Downs race was disappointing, went off at 7-5 and had the lead going down the stretch in a $500,000 stakes race and faded to 6th. But again, prior to Kentucky Downs form, she was right there with 91 buyers, back-to-back wins at Churchill and Saratoga. So I'm going to use those 3, and I'm also going to throw in Miwa for Joe Sharp, the other Joe Sharp. So I'm going to go deep in here. I don't have a strong opinion. I think it sets up for a price, possibly.
And that's where I'm going to go, actually, for the Sabres. I didn't have a strong opinion. And I thought, you know, if I don't really like anybody, I'm going to take a horse that's won here, and I get 20-1 morning line on Mike Maker going long on the turf. And it's Boss Lady Bailey. Actually won on this horse, gave it out as the long shot play back in the spring, and beat Vive Vouve that day. I can't remember the pronunciation of that one either, but beat that one that day. So, you know, that kind of form stacks up well and, you know, gets down on the inside. And I just, the more I looked at it, I thought, why not take a shot with this horse? Because I just really not particularly high on anybody else. I took Spanish Eyes next. I thought if she runs back to the runner-up effort in the grade 2 Beverly D, she'll be hard to beat. And talked to Brendan Walsh for Today at Keeneland, and he said just draw a line through the Kentucky Downs race, and they're hoping that it was just a bad day and that she comes back to her regular form. The 2 Joe Sharp horses you mentioned are the other ones that I'm going to use in here. But she's going to take a shot with Boss Lady Bailey at a big price. The 9th race is a maiden race for 2-year-olds, and they're going to go 6 furlongs, and I had no strong opinion here. I ended up taking the 11 Tack Force O because of the multiple gate works and a long preparation pattern for this race with the Romans barn, and they can hit with debut runners. Not his specialty, but he can win first time out. So in a wide open race, I'm going to go there. Elios the 4 goes for a good 2-year-old trainer, brought a high price at a 2-year-old auction earlier this year. 12 Something Dangerous, a couple of local works, and the young horses for this owner team has certainly run well this year. The 8 Law, Lay Down the Law, pricey purchase at a 2-year-old sale earlier this year. And the 5 Trouble Calling ran well behind a highly regarded winner in the debut. Now, the runner-up from that race didn't come back and run here well here earlier this week, so makes me a little skeptical of Trouble Calling, but that was a pretty good effort first time out for that Foley Barn runner. So I'm going to go five deep in the last leg. How about you?
Yeah, I'm going five deep, and I've got a couple horses you didn't mention. excuse me. Our money man on the inside for Brett Calhoun only got beat a neck at Churchill. The buyer doesn't stack up very well against Trouble Calling, but, you know, inside post showed some speed at Churchill and almost broke his maiden in the first time. So two-year-olds obviously get better second time out. Elios, the one you mentioned for Delgado, Trouble Calling for Greg Foley with a 76 buyer in his pocket. I agree that Circle Tap didn't run that well here, but this horse surprised a lot of people, 13-1, and ran a good third in his debut. Coming Soon for Brad Cox is a first-timer with Red Ortiz that I don't think you mentioned. I've got to put those two in the last race of the day. And then Something Dangerous on the outside for Jose Ortiz and Steve Asmussen. I think this race is wide, wide open. And I just want to tell you, Tom, I'm thankful that the quarterback for Texas is not named Viv Vuv, or you would have a hard time as we record this on Saturday. You'd have a hard time calling that game tonight.
Yes, I would. I share that appreciation. Manning's nice. Arch Manning's real easy to say. What's your pick four ticket look like?
It's been $75, 4-6-12 with 7-9 with 2-4-6-8-9 with 1-4-5-7-12. And I think this pick four has the possibility of paying tons of money.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I ended up really struggling to structure the ticket, and so I elected to take a stand early with just two horses in the first leg, the 6 and the 7. Nikki Nine Doors, I could like, as we both said, a lot more with a better post, so I'm going to discount her chances. And so I'm going to focus on the 6 and the 7, then go 3-4-7-8, 1-2-6-8, and then 4-5-8-11-12 for an $80 ticket. A little higher budget than I would normally like without a strong opinion on any race, but I'm like you. I think there's a chance to hit something good in here, so I wanted to give myself at least a decent shot to do that. Best of luck with your plays on the Sunday card, and then we have 4 days of racing left of the fall meet at Keeneland, so we'll resume our podcasts for next Wednesday's card here at KeenelandSelect.com.